on earth. And let's look at verse 4. He's getting ready to go back to heaven, to ascend, and he says, gathering them together, talking about his disciples, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Because, you know, some of the disciples, they lived in, you know, they were from Galilee. But to wait for what the Father had promised. Okay, very important. There's a promise here. Which he said, you heard of from me. So Jesus had been talking about this promise. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they come together, they are asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Okay. Now, here we see, we talked about last time that the promise of the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. For example, the prophet Joel talked about it. John the Baptist talked about it when he said, I baptize with water, but Jesus who comes after me, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself talked about it. And I think the primary purpose of this baptism, this, by the way, baptism means immersion, or this filling of the Holy Spirit, was to receive power to be witnesses all over the world. So many times we lack power, don't we? We have good intentions, but we just don't follow through. And that happens to all of us. Peter's a good example. Just several weeks before, he was boasting to the Lord, Lord, I'll never deny you. And what happened later that night? He denied the Lord three times, right? And he went away and he wept about it because he had good intentions. He just couldn't do it. You know, and so we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that people have strongly held opinions and beliefs about the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage all of us to really listen, okay? To put aside preconceived ideas. And most important, desire more of the Holy Spirit. Can we do that? Okay. Okay. Now, I want to show an illustration that maybe can clear up a little bit of misunderstanding. When the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, there's two areas. There's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That happens when we become born again, regenerated, saved. You know, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. But then Jesus and the early disciples, they spoke of also being filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're two different things. Now, when you start studying the scripture and trying to kind of see what falls in here, you see this, there's really a little bit of overlap, isn't there? And I think we have another slide that kind of has an overlap here. Yeah, there we go. In other words, for example, Ephesians 3 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit who works inside of us. Is that a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? It's a little less clear. But don't worry about trying to make everything fit into boxes and categories and formulas. God doesn't do it that way, does he? In a lot of areas. Human reasoning, God can use it, but it's not always the best. So today, we're going to look at the book of Acts. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is everywhere in the book of Acts. Some people even call the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I know just by way of personal testimony, a few years ago, actually quite a few years ago, when I was a teenager, I think I was 16 or 17, people were telling me, oh, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And other people were saying, you got to be careful with anyone who tells you that. And I wasn't sure what to believe. And someone said, why don't you read the book of Acts? So I did, and I had my pencil and pen, and I started writing out every time I would see the Holy Spirit. So I did this as a teenager, and it really helped me. I went to the scriptures to see what the scriptures say. That's what we're going to do. By the way, I encourage you to take notes, take a photo of the screen if you need to, and go over these passages again. So we're going to start in Acts 2. Because remember in Acts 1, the disciples were told to wait for what the Father had promised, not to leave Jerusalem. So there are about 120 men and women. They gathered together. They met in the upper room. And they waited for about 10 days. And then let's kind of see what happens in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, which, by the way, was a holiday, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Okay, so here this was the fulfillment of what Jesus had said, what John the Baptist had said, actually what the prophet Joel had said. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, something else is kind of interesting. If you look at verses 5 through 11, it says, well, let's read verse 5. Now, there are Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And it says, they kept hearing the disciples speaking in other tongues and other languages. And they thought, wait a minute, they're speaking my language. How do they know that? So there were Jews living in all the nations around the world. But they had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover and also the day of Pentecost, which is a month later. And they often did that. And God had it planned that way. You know, he had it planned that way. And then Peter, who just a few weeks earlier had denied the Lord, they all went outside. They're exalting God. They're praising God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And someone kind of said, these men are drunk. And Peter kind of said, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, and then he said, actually, this is what the prophet Joel said, that God later would pour out his Spirit upon men and women, slaves, free men, everyone. And then he just starts talking. And they were asking him questions. Well, what about this? What about that? And here he was completely changed because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Because before he was kind of, he could talk big, but he couldn't follow through. And the result was that 3,000 people entered into the kingdom of God that day. They repented. They were baptized. And that's kind of amazing because even during the ministry of Jesus, by the very end, there was only 120. 3,000 people. And this is considered the beginning of the church. And by the way, one of the things, was it a coincidence that there were men from every nation in Jerusalem at that time? Of course not, because many of them came into the kingdom that day. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Did that make a difference when they began to proclaim what Jesus had done? Of course it did. Something, we can't explain it, but those early disciples, those 120 disciples, They were changed completely. There was something supernatural that had happened. And that's what happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Something supernatural happens. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. And this is probably about 5 or 6 years later. And all the disciples and all the 3,000 and others kind of joined into the kingdom. And there's a great, wonderful church in Jerusalem. But God's design was to get them out of Jerusalem to the all over the earth, right? So it says that in verse 1, it says, on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And all the disciples were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Well, some of the believers went into Samaria. And, oh, by the way, you remember Acts 1:8? The church was going to start in Jerusalem. And then it was going to go to what? Samaria and Judea. And then it was going to go to the end of the earth, right? That's really sort of the way the book of Acts unfolds. So in Samaria, some of those disciples were there. And these were Samaritans, but they're sharing the Lord. And people come to know the Lord. They want to be baptized. And then John and Peter heard that, hey, people, the Samaritans are kind of getting into this. They're kind of receiving the Lord. They're being baptized. So they went out to Samaria. And let me kind of read what it says. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. So these are people who had already received the Lord, but they had not, the Holy Spirit had not fallen on them. And Peter and John knew that these new disciples, these new believers, needed the power of the Holy Spirit to keep the word of God multiplying, right? And in this case, they actually laid hands on them. Okay? Acts 9. And the background here is Saul, who we later know as who? Paul, you know. He was a great persecutor of Christians. And he heard that some of the Christians had been scattered to Damascus. So he gets a group of people and he starts heading to Damascus. And his idea was he was going to grab the Christians there, take them back, and take them before the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and with the idea of putting them in jail. Well, on the way to Damascus, we know the story. All of a sudden, a blind light, you know, a big white light kind of, you know, Paul has, you know, he can't even stand up. He's down on the ground, and Jesus speaks to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he says, "I have a call for you. I want you to go and I want you to preach me and my resurrection to all the nations, to the Gentiles." Now, when Saul got up, or now he's Paul, you know, he couldn't see anything. He was blinded. But the Lord also said, go into Damascus, go to a particular street, and there's going to be a man there named Ananias, and he's going to tell you what to do. Meantime, God speaks to Ananias and says, listen, I want you to go to this particular street, particular house. There's a man named Saul, and I want you to pray for him. And he says, but Lord, I heard he's on his way here to kind of take us to jail. Nope, he's a chosen vessel of mine. So they kind of meet, and let's kind of see what happens. I'm just reading just a couple of verses here. Chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on a road by which you were coming, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Okay, so here Paul comes. He already met the Lord on the way to Damascus. In fact, later in Acts, when he talks about his conversion, he doesn't even mention what happened with Ananias. He always mentions the road of Damascus when he had this encounter with Jesus. And but he was filled with the Holy Spirit here. And also his eyes were healed. God had called Paul for a particular task. Preach the gospel to the nations. And he needed the Holy Spirit. By the way, God's called every one of us to preach the gospel to the nations. Do we need the Holy Spirit too to be filled? Of course we do. Then let's go to Acts 10 and 11. And let me tell you the story here. A lot of you already know this. But Peter is in Joppa. And it's about noon. And he goes up on the rooftop and they're kind of making food down. He's kind of hungry. And while he does this, he falls into a trance. And all of a sudden he sees this blanket come down with unclean animals in it. And a voice comes out and says, "Arise, kill and eat those things." And Peter says, "Lord, I've never in my life eaten anything unclean. I can't do that." Kind of goes back up to heaven. Then it comes back down. Same thing happens. He says the same thing. Happens three times. And then it goes back up. So he's there thinking, what is the Lord trying to say to me? Meantime, Cornelius, who was a Roman, unclean to Jews. Actually, he wasn't just a Roman. He was a centurion. He was a leader, like kind of like a general or a captain in the army of Rome in Caesarea, a Roman city up the coast. And the Lord comes and speaks to Cornelius and says, "You know, I've got a plan for your life. You know, I want to reveal myself to you. I want you to send some people to a town called Joppa and go to a particular house, and you can meet someone named Peter. He's going to come and tell you what to do." So Peter's having this vision, he's kind of wondering, what is God saying? That doesn't even make sense. Knock on the door downstairs, and they say, "We've come here." It's some Romans. "We've come here. Is there a Peter here at this house?" So Peter comes downstairs, and they say, "Listen, our master, Cornelius, he's a centurion with the Romans. You know, in Caesarea, he got a visit from an angel, and he sent us to come, and you need to kind of come, and you've got something to tell us." And all of a sudden, Peter thought, oh, that's what that vision's about. Because a good Jew would never even go into the house of a Gentile. And he's being asked to go into the house of a Roman leader. So he gets a couple other guys to go with him. He doesn't want to go by himself. He goes down goes up to Caesarea, and they invite him in. He goes into this Roman house. Cornelius has his whole family, his servants, everybody, all kind of there in chairs waiting for him. And because they knew that Peter was going to come. And so Peter thinks, well, I guess I need to tell him about Jesus. So he starts telling him about Jesus and goes on and on. And then in verse 44, this is the last part of it. While Peter is still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers, that is the Jews, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they stayed with him. They stayed with Owen in Cornelius' house for a few extra days. They actually spent the night because they were kind of amazed what was happening. And now this created quite a stir. In fact, word got back to Jerusalem that Peter and some of the disciples were in the house of a Roman centurion. And so they called for Peter to come up and, you know, you need to explain yourself. Everyone was all stirred up. Because even though people from other countries had received the Lord and had been filled with the Holy Spirit, there were always Jews or Samaritans. That was a big stretch. They were like half racial. They were racially impure. But Gentiles, Romans, that was too much. So he goes to Jerusalem, you know, and he says, basically, he repeats the whole story. Listen, I was in Joppa. I was upstairs. I got this vision. I didn't know what it meant. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, and I come, and what was I supposed to do? Honest, guys, it wasn't my fault. I just had to do what God was saying. It was kind of basically what he was saying. So, and then he kind of, let's kind of read verse 15. He talks about the end of it. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the very beginning, back in Acts 2. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So, pretty big thing, right? Okay, one more. By the way, these were people who, you know, they needed to be... let's kind of go on. Okay, Acts 19, Paul is... This is a number of years later. And Paul kind of goes through the countryside near Ephesus. And by the way, Ephesus in the future becomes a big center for Christianity. But not yet. And while they're going through the, kind of coming through the country, they met 12 people who are already disciples of Jesus. Now, see, the gospel was going by so quick, they couldn't control it. It just kept going from one person to another. And they're pretty excited. And they talked to them. And they didn't even know about water baptism. They said, well, you need to get water baptized. And so let's look Acts 19, verse 5 and 6. We'll kind of read the last part of the story. It says, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 men. They were already believers. They needed to get water baptized. But while they began baptizing them, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. Okay, so we've looked at 5 accounts. We did that pretty fast, didn't we? Read the story, the whole story later. I just kind of summarized it. But every one of these accounts is a little bit different. That's good because it shows us that God doesn't do things exactly the same way every time. So a few conclusions we can make. Definitely something happened every time they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't always the same. Sometimes it resulted, they just started praising and exalting God. Sometimes they were prophesying. In Paul's case, he got healed. They spoke in tongues sometimes, but not all the time. Every time was different. But all were touched or filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Another conclusion we can make is that it was called different things. And I think sometimes people kind of, you know, they start... saying, well, that's being filled with the Holy Spirit, but this means the Holy Spirit coming on you, and this means being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? All these are used interchangeably. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Actually, sometimes several phrases are mentioned for just one event. Like in Acts 2. Jesus referred to it as being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter quotes Joel that talks about the Holy Spirit falling upon him. And then a little bit later, it talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, all for the same event. So we have to kind of, it's like when we first become a Christian. We're born again or regenerated, become a new creature, we're saved. There's different ways of saying that, right? Another conclusion we can say is that this being filled with the Holy Spirit happened in different ways. Sometimes it was on laying of hands. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just fell upon him. Sometimes it was before water baptism. Sometimes it was after water baptism. In Acts 19, it was while they're being baptized. Can we make a formula on this? Of course we can. That's the idea, right? God doesn't want us to use formulas. But one thing is clear. He wants us to all be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be immersed in the Holy Spirit. More than just having the Spirit of God indwelling in us, He wants to fill us. Remember that illustration we showed before? You know, yes, when we are saved, born again, whatever, regenerate, the Spirit indwells us, but we also want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we want to have power to be His witnesses, don't we? And by the way, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the power to be witnesses. There's a release of the gifts, supernatural in our lives. There's guidance. We didn't talk about this, but often in the book of Acts, it says, and the Spirit of God said, go to this place or do this. Or set apart Paul and Barnabas. Or don't go here. The Holy Spirit guides. We need that too. Okay, one other thing, and we'll go pick up on this next time. Being filled is something, it's not just a one-time event that happened. In my case, I was filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit 50 years ago in June, this past June. I know you didn't even think I was that old, did you? Yeah, I am. No, actually a little bit older. But anyway, but that's not the only time. And I especially meet Pentecostals or Charismatics. And I said last time, I don't like names. I just want to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. You know, so I don't identify with any little man-made label. But I meet Pentecostals, Charismatics, they talk about, oh yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1934. Well, that's good. I'm glad you were. But what about since then? You know, now, Acts 4, verse 31, the same people who in Acts 2 had been filled with the Holy Spirit, plus maybe a few others. It says, and when they prayed, the place that they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I like that. You know, but you know what? I don't know how long it had been, maybe 6 months, but they needed to be filled afresh. Acts 13, 52. It says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. By the way, just because you are joyful one day, does it mean you're going to be joyful the next day and the next month and the next year? No. But the disciples, they were continually filled with joy and they were continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek verb, there's a special tense that there's not in English nor in Spanish, that really, it emphasizes more. It means it's always in the process of happening. So they were always in the process of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Probably every day they were saying, fill me again, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. It says, we're exhort not to get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek tense there is to be continually filled with the Spirit. Okay, let's pause here for a minute. We're going to pray. But I want to ask you, let's make it personal. Do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying, oh yeah, I was back in 1983. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you today need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I do, and I'm going to need it again tomorrow and the next day. Now, there may be certain times when the house is shaken, you know, and those are always good things to kind of feel. But I want to be filled even if the house isn't shaking. By the way, when we go on the retreat, that's usually a time because we're seeking God for long periods of time. I don't think we've ever had, well, actually, a couple years ago, there was a time when the chandelier, everything started kind of shaking. Remember that? Who remembers that? Right. So that can happen even today. Does that mean it's going to happen in 3 weeks? No, it might. It might not. But there may be something else that happens. There might be tongues of fire next time. I don't know. I've never seen that, but it could be. We don't put God in a box, do we? And really, the most important thing is, do we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Lord, we desire everything that you have for us. And Lord, I want to pray if there's anyone who's maybe a little rocked by this study, I just pray that you give them clarity, that you give them peace right now. Lord, I know there's a lot of different teaching out there, a lot of different opinions. But Lord, we want to hear what you have to say from your scriptures. Lord, one thing is clear, I believe, is that we need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We need your Spirit to fall upon us. Lord, we need your Spirit to be able to boldly proclaim your word to those around us. Lord, we have been placed in a world and in a generation and age where there's so much confusion. There's so much hatred. There's so much, just a lot of sin. There's a lot of things that just aren't going right. And even natural disasters, Lord. And Lord, you've placed us here.